Yeah, what's going on, man? This is your boy, A&R for the Streets.
A&R for the Streets.
Welcome to the A&R for the Streets podcast. Today, we got a special guest. We got a special guest on the podcast today. Like a lot of artists always ask me where the money at. Today, we got the guy that's going to show you where the money at, man. Like, how do you pronounce your name? Is it Five Piece or is it how you pronounce it?
It is Five Piece. Five Piece is the way. Although I have gotten some interesting twists on that. Somebody called me Spice once. I thought that was hilarious.
Yo, that's funny. So
Five Piece for the record. Five Piece.
Five Piece? Sounds good. We got Five Piece in the house. Grant Ryder has been doing his thing for a minute now. So I've been following him on Instagram. He's been sharing a lot of great information. So it was about time for us to connect so we could share the information to the masses so they could connect with you and we could kind of like help provide more opportunities for the community. You know what I mean? Especially for a Canadian artist, Toronto artist, upcoming artist that needs funding for their projects. Definitely. But to get started, just give us a little bit of background about yourself. What do you do and how did you get started in this whole grant writing business?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I started in grant writing like a lot of people that are probably tuning in today. And that was, I was a music creator. I was a producer. I am a producer. I still am. I'm an engineer. And I've been working with a bunch of different artists all the time. And I find that some artists can be really talented, but they would really lack in the budget department. And sometimes it would prevent me from working on things that I wanted to work on because money was an issue, which makes sense. You know what I mean? So for me, what ended up happening was I realized that there was music grants in Canada, which is a very common thing here. A lot of other places don't have it, by the way, but we have it. We're very fortunate. And all you have to really do is figure out how can you win this money from these grant organizations. So I kind of took the initiative, even though I wasn't a grant writer then, I was a producer, I was an engineer. I'm like, look, I found a way to get us some money. Trust me on this. Let me apply and let me figure this out. And if we get this, let's use that money to pay me for my services to produce, to engineer, and do all these different things. And sure enough, I fired a bunch of shots. I learned everything that I needed to learn. I just tried a bunch of times. I failed a bunch of times for sure. But then I started getting a lot of success at the same time with grants. I started winning them and I started figuring out like what worked and what didn't. And then I started actually really diving even deeper into grant writing and then offering this as a service to other people outside of the clients that I work with.
Okay. Somebody said they're not hearing audio. I'm not sure. You could hear me, right?
I could hear you. Can you hear me? Am I all good?
I could hear you perfect. It might be that person. You might have to fix your audio because everybody else could hear us. That's great. That's great. So that's good how you pretty much went about trying to find out these information yourself. You know what I mean?
So there's necessity, so you, right?
So how long it took you to actually get a grant?
So it was funny. I went to Atlanta. I went to A3C in Atlanta, which is like a big conference, right? I think it was like 2016, something like that, with a partner of mine. And I came back. It was October. I came back and I found out that the city of Toronto was doing a grant writing seminar downtown, kind of like this, where they just had all the different organizations talking about how they give away the money and all that stuff. So I attended. I took notes. It was like November, I think, by the time this happened. I applied to my first grant a week later. I applied to two of them, actually, one from Factor, one from Ontario Arts Council. There's a bunch of organizations, but those are the two I applied to at that time. And it takes some time to get approved and accepted. So sure enough, 3 months went by, which is the typical turnaround time. And in January, I think it was either January or February of the following year, so 3 months later, I actually got accepted to one of those two applications. So pretty much right away, I applied what I was learning. I made the effort. I took the shot, right? Obviously, closed mouths don't get fed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And I got the bag almost instantly, right? 3 months is a pretty standard turnaround time. But what it really did was it opened the door for me. It made me realize, oh, I could do this. And then sure enough, I did it again and again. And I kind of made it a process of to now where, to be honest, every time there's a grant deadline, I'm applying to 5 or 10 applications at a time. So I always have like 20 to 40 applications going in every single year, bare minimum. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I didn't even know all that. So for your first grant, how much was it? If you don't mind sharing that information.
It was a $2,000 grant from Factor. It was the artist development grant. It's a great grant to start with. Very simple application, about 3 questions. You include a budget, so how much money you're going to spend, and then they'll give you a free $2,000. And I know a lot of people, they probably want to like get those 10s, those 20s, those $100,000 grants. You can't just walk into those. You have to start at the lower tier, the 2,000s, the 5,000s, win those, handle them appropriately, of course, like do what you have to do with them. And then, you know, then you can start qualifying for the bigger grants and actually building more trust with the organization that gives the money away. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Also, anyone that's in the chat right now, if you guys have any questions, send your questions in the chat. So while I'm doing this interview with him, I'll be able to ask him all the questions that you guys have. So while you were talking, I hear that you mentioned a few organizations that you apply for, such as Toronto Arts Council and also Factor. Which are the other organizations that offer music grants out there, just for everyone else here?
For sure. Before I even say that, there's a lot of grants, and grants are very much geography based. So basically where you live is the grants that you're able to apply to. And every place is a little bit different. So there's going to be stuff I say that you might not be able to access, but there's probably going to be things that I don't even mention at all that you do have access to. So as an example, you mentioned one, Toronto Arts Council, that's one grant organization, but they're only available to people who live in Toronto. So you have to have a Toronto mailing address to apply to that organization. Okay, that's one example. Then you have Ontario Arts Council. That's a provincial grant organization. Anybody in Ontario can apply to that grant organization. Now, if you're not in Ontario, if you're in, let's say, British Columbia or Nova Scotia, you will have your own provincial grant organization that you can apply to. So BC has BC Arts Council. They're usually called the province name Arts Council, just as a heads up. Nova Scotia, I think it's Arts Nova Scotia or something like that. So those are obviously the provincial level. And then you have the federal level, which is Factor is one. And then you have Canada Council for the Arts, which is another one. And those are like the big ones, but there's still a whole bunch of other grant organizations out there. In fact, SOCAN, you know, the people that pay you for your performance royalties, they have grants. You know, if you pay attention, you'll see like RBC and TD Bank. They have different music incubator programs and they offer grants as well. So there's no shortage of grants available. And if you really want to know where to find grants for yourself, go to Google and just type in your location. So, you know, your city and your province, followed by the words music grants. So for me, Toronto music grants or Ontario music grants. Do your province, do your city, and see what pops up. Because you might be in Brampton, as an example. You type in Brampton music grants, you might see some stuff that nobody else has access to except for people in Brampton, right? So it's just about doing that research. But those are the big organizations that I just mentioned.
Okay, wow, dope. Thank you very much for all that information. I really didn't know all that. So I have a few questions for you just so I can kind of like cover all these frequently asked questions. So what is a music grant for everyone that's here? What is a music grant?
So a grant is money from, usually it's the government. Sometimes it's from a foundation, a not-for-profit foundation that gets money from, you know, donations and stuff like that. And their job is to give money away to arts creators in a specific economy. So for example, let's go back to that provincial thing I was saying with Ontario Arts Council and stuff like that. Ontario Arts Council will get their money from Ontario and then they want the money to go back into Ontario. So when you win that money, a part of the stipulations that you're gonna have to do when you get that money is make sure that you spend it only on Ontario-based expenses. So if you wanna like hire an American, no diss to the Americans, I love my American friends, but you can't do that with an Ontario Arts Council grant. In fact, even if you wanted to hire somebody in Montreal or in Vancouver, you still couldn't do that. That money is intended to go back to the place that it came from, okay? So the provincial grants, they're very particular about that. Same with the city grants. The federal grants, the Factors, the Canada Council for the Arts, those are a little bit different. You could spend that money anywhere in Canada as long as it's going back into Canada. So once again, it has to fund the place that it comes from, whether it's the city, the province, or just the whole country as a whole. But the intention, once again, is for artists, creators, to take that money and invest it into their craft and invest it into paying people to help them do what they need to do, whether it's record a song, shoot a video, market an album, market a single, do our artwork for your single or for your album, live performance, which is sort of canceled right now, but when it comes back, you know what I mean? all those different activities are totally able to be paid for by a grant.
Okay, dope, dope. So what kind of music grants are available?
So each of those organizations that I mentioned, like Ontario Arts Council, Factor, Canada Council, they each have their own unique applications that you can apply to. They're called grant programs, right? Mm-hmm. So the one that I won from Factor, for example, is the Artist Development Program for $2,000. That's one program that Factor offers, okay? Factor also offers the Juried Sound Recording Program. That program can give you up to $67,500. So $67,000, a lot of money to the first level of artists. So Factor has a bit of a different system. They have like a tier system where there's levels and you sort of graduate up. Most people can start by applying to the Artist Development Grant and the Juried Sound Recording Grant, this big one I'm talking about. And as you work your way up the levels, you can qualify for more. So if you're an artist level one, you can get $67,000 from that program. But if you're an artist level two, you could get, I think, like $77,000. And if you're artist level three, you could get even more. They give you more money as you qualify for more funding based on where you are in your career. If you hit certain streaming numbers, if you're on tour. So things like that. There's different criteria that's specific to get to those levels. But mm-hmm. those are two programs for sure that are very popular. $2,000 from Factor for Arts Development, $67,000 from their Juried Sound Recording. Now there's other programs, of course. Ontario Arts Council has a music recording program that's worth $12,000 for a full length album. So that would be 26, 27 minutes or longer. Toronto Arts Council has a music creation and recording. I think it's about 10 grand. Canada Council, they have a whole bunch. One of them actually can go as high as $100,000, believe it or not. So you can see, we're talking big numbers. We're not talking about like $200.
Yeah.
We're talking about tens to potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you don't have to just apply to one, and you're not limited to just one. I apply to each of these organizations throughout the entire year. So I'll shoot a shot to Factor. I'll shoot a shot to Ontario Arts Council. I'll shoot a shot to Canada Council. And to be honest, it's like free throws. You got to just keep shooting buckets,
keep trying to get them in.
And then as long as you keep doing that, one's going to go in. And if it doesn't go in, just, you know, figure out what went wrong. Talk to the organization because they want to give you money. Chances are you're the one preventing yourself from getting the money. It's just something you're not doing, or maybe something you're doing too much of, or whatever it is. You know, I kind of went a little sidetrack there, but hopefully that answers the question about what's available.
Yeah, that does answer the question. So when they give you these grants, do you have to pay them back, or is it kind of like free money? For you to, and also, do you have to, one more question, when they give you the money, do you also have to like make sure you provide all the information that you use the money for, such as the recording, you pay for this, you have to provide receipts for these things?
Absolutely. So it's not just like the honor system. First of all, a grant is not a loan. A grant is a grant. It's a reward in a way. You know what I mean? They're giving you money and they're not expecting that money back. However, if you do not spend the money properly, if you get $60,000 and then you go buy a Benz or something, you're going to have to pay that back. You can't do that. And the reason why you can't do that is because when you get the grant, you get it. And then later on, about a year later, typically, sometimes a few years later, 2 years later, they want to get a final report back, which consists of all your receipts, your invoices. So both, not just one or the other, has to be invoices and a proof of purchase. So like if you send somebody an e-transfer, have a printout of that e-transfer, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Or if you go and buy something at a store, have the physical receipt. And they want everything, you know, detailed on a spreadsheet that they'll give you and they'll tell you how to fill out. And then you're going to write your report about what you did. And that report is going to be based on what you applied with. So when I apply to a grant, so for example, let's say I applied to the Ontario Arts Council recording program that I mentioned for 12 grand. When I apply, I'm going to tell them everything that I want to do with that money. So I'm going to say, okay, I want 12 grand. You know, I want to pay this engineer to record 12 songs. He's going to charge me 200 a song. Let's say, I don't know. I want to hire this guy for videos. That's going to be about 2 grand a video. I want to do three. So that's 6 grand. And you're going to break down every single thing you plan to do, who's going to be doing it for you, because you can't be doing it alone. And if you're doing anything 100% alone, don't apply, because you're probably not going to get it. They don't want to give money to somebody who is not going to pay that money to people. You have to pay people with that money. That's the whole point of them giving it to you. It's to stimulate the economy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an artist that's already paying for studio time or paying for videos, why not just not pay it out of pocket and get this other organization to pay it and just actually keep your money in your pockets? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. You're definitely right about that. And that's one thing I found out a lot of upcoming artists have issues with, because they're not signed to any record labels that's going to fund their career. So after they spent like $1,000 on the video, they spent a couple money on the recording that song or whatever it may be, and to market the video as well, paying these blogs to post it, they're pretty much left dry, because they just have to wait for these streams, for these video streams to come in. It's hard for them to make any type of income when it comes to the to their music, right? So it's kind of, that's why I really wanted to tap in with you as a grant writer, so we could kind of like offer this service to the upcoming artists in Canada, especially from Toronto, you know what I mean?
Definitely. And someone actually just asked a really good question.
Yes.
That I liked. They said, do grants count as income? I don't know if everybody saw that, but I just wanted to point that out. It does count as income. So when you get your, at the end of the year, when you get all your T4s and stuff from working and all that, you get your different tax slips. Grants will give you a T4A, which is a specific kind of document that's a form of income. Basically, it's on record, because when you apply, you give your SIN number, you give all the same information you would give an employer, you know what I mean? But the thing is, you get this grant, it's going to say, okay, you made 10 grand, let's say, but then if you spent 10 grand on other people's services, that's now a write-off. So that money, technically, yeah, it's income, but then the expense is going to completely offset it. You know what I mean? The only exception is some grants, and I didn't really mention this, some grants you can use to pay yourself. You can't pay yourself 100% of it, but it is possible to take that grant and they will actually let you keep some of it. A lot of organizations don't. Factor, they won't really let you pay yourself money. You know what I mean? There's like a few exceptions, but not really. But like Ontario Arts Council, you could get a grant. And I actually did this last year. We won a $10,000 grant from somebody from Ontario Arts Council for an artist. And we use that money to pay the artist a small fee to record the, I think it was like 10 songs or something. So he got a couple $100 for every song that he recorded himself. You know, we paid the producer that he was working with a couple $100 for every beat. And then I was the engineer. I got paid a couple $100 as well to mix every single song. But the thing was, he made income from that technically, because we paid him. So that, of course, you would be taxed on because it's income. But otherwise, as long as you're spending all that money appropriately, you shouldn't necessarily be taxed on it. Consult with your accountant, of course. I'm not a tax expert, but this has been my experience over the past few years with grants personally.
Okay. And so let's just say an artist apply for a grant, right? But that artist have a team as like a video guy. They have a mixer. They have a producer in their team. Are they allowed to say, okay, great, this is what I'm going to pay that money, but they don't actually pay that much to, you know what I mean? They could kind of like subsidize it and be like, okay, great, I'm gonna pay $2,000 for my video guy, but they actually give the video guy $1,000. Are they able to do things like that as well, just so they could kind of like keep some of the money themselves?
Not necessarily. Like, people could try, but here's the problem. You need to have proof. You need to show that if this guy invoiced you for $2,000, you're gonna have the invoice. And then if you paid him $2,000, you're gonna have the e-transfer or whatever sort of receipt that proves that you sent that money. And if you don't do that, it doesn't work. And some people might be, they might think they're smart and say, well, I'll send it to him and he'll send it back. That could get sticky, because now that person is going to have a record of him receiving $2,000 and then paying you back $1,000. It may not work out the way that you want for that person. Because some people have asked me like, oh, like, how about I just pay you and we just kind of like fudge it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that, because now I'm going to be on record accepting money that I then paid back, so I have to pay tax on this income that I made. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it gets all messed up. You don't want to do that. So I definitely advise, don't do that. Apply. You can absolutely have a team of people that you always work with. Use grants as a way to pay them what the hell they deserve. You know what I mean? Okay. That's how it started for me. I wanted what I felt like I deserved. Nobody else was bringing anything to the table in terms of figuring out a way to pay for this stuff. I was just creating a lane for myself by applying to grants and doing it personally. So hopefully that makes sense, you know?
Okay, it makes sense. What you said makes sense. So pretty much the grants is pretty much for artists to pay other people than themselves. Like, is there any grants where artists...
sorry to cut you. They can pay themselves with certain grants. Remember, they can give themselves some money. So Ontario Arts Council, their programs are one. You know what I mean? Their music, they have two programs that you can apply to that are fitting for musicians, because they're not only funding music, they're funding like literary arts and dance and performance and all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But for music, they have the music creation program and they have the music recording program. So the creation is if you want to write music, so you could technically take that, and it's about how you justify it, right? But you could take that and say, you know, I'm going to just spend 2 weeks or 2 months, whatever, locked in a room, you know, writing music. And that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to make my whole purpose creating this project, right?
Yeah.
And you have to justify why that's important and everything, because it's not just a matter of asking for money. You have to justify why you deserve the money. You know what I mean? And there's a few reasons why you would deserve it, but we could talk about that after. And then once you've proven that you can get the money, they'll give it to you, and you can obviously take that money and pay yourself, because you've told them up front, I'm going to use this to pay for my cost of living and not work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great.
So Ontario Arts Council is one. That's one. And then the Canada Council for the Arts, that's another one. Those are two like main organizations that will allow that. Factor, I believe, for their juried sound recording program, that bigger program, 67,000 I mentioned, they will allow a person, an artist, to pay themselves a self-producer fee. I think it maxes out at $500 a track for up to 10 tracks. So if you have a 12-track album, you can't ask for more than, what is it, $5,000, right? 10 times 500. So 5,000 is the max you can get from that program, assuming you're accepted, of course. You know, does that make sense? So those are the big ones for sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because like what I do this for is kind of like help the artists a lot. You know what I mean? One thing I realized is just the artists usually the last one to make any income when it comes to like producing their art, pushing their art. It's like, I feel like everybody else get paid but the artists. So that's why I really wanted to ask that question, to make sure all the artists that are in the room right now know that they could actually get paid from grants as well. You know what I mean?
And for anybody that's curious, I do have a YouTube video. I'm just to plug my YouTube for a sec. If you go to youtube.com/5piece, maybe if you want to email blast this after, you can do it too. There's a video on there that's called Grant Programs That Pay You to Make Music. And I summarize these same exact programs I just told you. So if anybody's like trying to figure out how to write it down and figure it out, don't worry. Yeah. We have a video that'll summarize that specific question very well for you.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you very much for pretty much plugging that in. Somebody sent in a question. They say, can they buy beats exclusively with some of the money, some of the grant money?
So here's where it gets interesting. Remember what I said before about how the money has to be spent in Canada. So the answer is yes, if that person is from the geography the funding came from. So if you get a grant from Factor or Canada Council, they could be anywhere in Canada. If you get a grant from a provincial organization like Ontario Arts Council, you'd have to be buying beats from somebody who's in Ontario. If you're getting a grant from the Toronto Arts Council, that producer better be in Toronto. You understand what I'm saying? So as long as the expense comes from the same place that the funding came from, it's totally fine. You know, just emphasis on making sure you're spending the money in Canada. That's what it's all for. Anything that isn't spent in Canada is not eligible. Anything that is not eligible, they'll take it back. And sometimes they'll take it back with interest, and it does become a loan. You do not want that to happen. Trust me.
Okay. So has there been any time some of the funds that you got became a loan, you didn't spend it properly, or do you know exactly how to spend them?
Not with me, because I manage things very tightly. I mean, when I win a grant for an artist, it's up to the artist to spend it properly. I tell them everything they need to know. And if they choose to ignore my advice, that's on them, because I can't force you to do something that, you know what I mean? You have to listen to me in order for it to work, you know?
Yeah,
however, I do have a friend, I'm not going to say his name, but he's a bigger artist in the city, and he did win a sizable grant from Factor. And long story short, the grant writer that he worked with, he literally just helped him get the money, and he never gave him anything else. Never helped him with the completion, didn't give him any information. He just said, yo, here's your money, thanks, peace. And he just kind of cut. And my friend, unfortunately, mismanaged that money. In the end, what ended up happening was he did his project. It was very successful at the time, like tons of streams, millions of streams, all that. And Factor in the end, because he misappropriated the funds, what ended up happening was Factor said, yo, we want that 25 grand back plus interest. And what happens is you could technically, I don't want to say you could technically, you can't avoid it. It's going to come and haunt you one way or another. But the worst part about it is that the second that happens, you're screwed for grants. The second you screw over an organization, you're done. Factor is not going to give him any more money. Even if he pays it back, it's probably not going to work. You know what I mean? Because you've shown that you're not trustworthy, right? You have to manage things appropriately. And that's why I encourage people taking baby steps. Start with the small grants, work your way up. Not only because you probably aren't going to get a $10,000 grant if you've only released one song, but also just to understand how this whole thing works, how to report, and how to manage even a small sum of money. Like $2,000 is nothing. You pretty much spend that whole thing on a few studio sessions or a couple of mixes or one video. But at the end of the day, if you manage it properly and report it properly and you're in good standing with the organization, they'll look at you and they'll be like, okay, we can give this guy, we trusted him with two, maybe we can give him five, maybe we can give him 10. And you can start to work your way up the ladder. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's just say for somebody, some of the participants that are in the chat right now, they don't know nothing about grants, how to apply, and what to put, what information should they put up there to get qualified. Should they hire like a grant writer like yourself, or should they try to apply for a grant by themselves first?
I think it's going to boil down to where they are in their career. And just to plug something else, because I love to plug things. I have so what I actually do my grant writing under is under another name. It's under this brand I have called Finding Funding. Finding Funding, just like, you know, I'm searching for something, funding, right? Pretty straightforward. If you go to findingfunding.ca, emphasis on the .ca, findingfunding.ca, I have a free course called Music Grants 101. It's free. Thank you. That person just plugged. Oh, that's you. Okay, thanks, man. Head to that site. Sign up for the free course. It's going to teach you everything you need to know to get started. It's not going to give you absolutely everything from start to finish, but it'll get you introduced. It'll make you basically get ready to apply to your first grant. You'll figure out what you're applying with, who you should be applying to, what organizations, what information you're going to need, and all the stuff that you're going to need to just get organized and ready to apply to your first grant. So definitely, if you're thinking about this grant stuff, take that course before you do anything. Okay. Very simple and short. You'll like it. Trust me. And what I would say is, if you're an artist, to answer your question now, if you're an artist that actually has some success, okay, I'm not saying you got to be like out of here, like millions of hits and stuff, but if you have a bunch of songs released, if you have more than 1,000 plays on Spotify songs and stuff like that, if you have some good photos and good quality music and a decent team behind you in terms of the creative, you may want to try just shooting a couple of shots on your own to familiarize yourself with the process, or you may even want to hire somebody because you're going to be in a position to. Because the truth is, a lot of people ask me to write grants for them, and then I say, okay, first thing I say is, send me your Spotify. Oh, I don't have Spotify. I'm not on there. Well, you're not ready for a grant, unfortunately. I would love to help you, but the first thing a grant organization is going to do is look into you. They're going to look at what you've done. What music do you have? They really want to see what you're asking for. Is that possible? Like, if you're saying, yo, I'm going to shoot three videos and I'm going to make an album, and you have no music out and no videos out, how is anybody going to trust you with money? You know what I mean? So if you're in that, like, you know, secondary group where you don't have really too much going on just yet, don't do anything. Just chill out, learn a little bit more about grants and all that stuff, but really focus on putting stuff out there. It's probably going to cost you money, but at the end of the day, like, if this is something you want to turn into a career, that's sort of how it has to be. It's not a hobby, right? If you're doing this full time, or if you're trying to do this full time, you have to invest in your craft, release more music, release videos, and really just create a proof of concept. Prove to the organization that what you're asking for is something that you can deliver. I've never applied, or rarely have I applied, in one where I say, you know, here's this artist who's never done anything, and we're asking to do all these things. He's never done any of those. Help us. They're probably not going to help you, especially when you realize there's a lot of people applying to grants. It's not just me. There's thousands, tens of thousands, potentially even hundreds of thousands of artists applying to these every single deadline. And because it's so competitive, they don't have enough money to give everybody money. So you have to prove that you can do what you're trying to do. in order to win it. Hopefully that adds up.
That adds up. You pretty much saying you got to invest yourself before somebody else can invest in you. That's pretty much what you're saying right now.
And there's ways to not spend money to do these things too, right? You have a friend who's dope with the videos, you know what I mean? Maybe they'll shoot a video for you for free or for very cheap. Maybe you have a friend who's a producer, but he can also record and kind of like, you know, edit vocals and mix a little bit. Maybe you could work with him. Even if you give these people a little bit of money just to get yourself through, that's cool. Even if you're recording yourself and doing a lot of things on your own, that's cool. It's just making sure that whatever you're trying to do, you can prove you can actually do it. That's the key.
Okay, definitely. Okay, great answer. So I did this whole webinar to try to get everyone the answers that they want to know about Grant. So I'm going to make sure I ask you all the questions everyone is sending in here.
Absolutely.
So one question somebody sent is, what if you have to travel to the States for business? You still can't spend the money in the States as living expense?
Is the business, I guess this is going to be an answer with a question. So is the business in the States music related, or are you just going to the States for like side business? But if it's music related, that money, first of all, there should be no surprise visit to the States where you're trying to use the grant money. You know what I mean? When you apply to a grant, you're applying with a predetermined plan. You know what I mean? So you're saying, yo, I'm going to record this album. I'm going to record it at this studio in Toronto and this and that. So that money has nothing to do with anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're saying explicitly what that money is for. Now, if you're asking, or maybe they meant to ask, can I spend any money in the States? Is there any way to do that? There are certain grants related to travel that will allow that. So like Canada Council for the Arts, they do have two travel programs. One is Canada-based, so it's money to be spent traveling in Canada. The other one is arts abroad, okay? And that just means anywhere in the world. So those grants, well, that second grant, arts abroad, that one you could spend in the States. If you get a grant from Factor for their live performance program, it actually is a live performance is what it's called. If you get a grant for that to go perform in the States, then that money is probably going to be okay to spend in the States as well. It's ultimately going to be determined by what your project is that you've applied with and whether or not you've explicitly said you're going to spend it in America. But typically that money, once again, is intended to be spent in Canada. And think about it like this. If you just now don't have to pay your videographer $5K and you don't have to pay your engineer $5K and you don't have to pay your marketing person $10K, now you technically have saved 20 grand that you can now spend out of your own pocket in the States. Does that make sense? Like, it's almost like you're not spending your money here anyways because it's grant money. You know what I mean? So now you could just reallocate that money that you were supposed to spend in Canada that's now covered by the grant. You could spend that money in America. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, definitely. Next question would be, will the foundations issue T4s to the people I paid, or they just want proof of the transaction?
No, the people that you've paid, they're not, you get a T4 if you're an employee of a company. Right? Like a T4 is something you get when you're employed. A T4A, which is the document I was talking about, and that's probably what the person was referring to, that is only given to the grant recipient. Now, the people that you've paid, like myself, when I get paid as an engineer to mix a record, I have to report my own income separately. I don't get no tax slip or anything because I'm a self-employed like business. I have a business, right? I just file my standard T1, and that's what the people you pay would do as well. At the end of the day, you're not responsible for somebody else claiming stuff on their taxes. That's every individual's own responsibility. As long as you are filing your T4A, and of course you're keeping good records so that way you can write off your grant expenses. So you get 10 grand, but you spent it on recording and mixing and all the other shit. That's totally fine. You know what I mean? You're not going to be in any hot water.
Okay, great. I'm going to ask you one more question before I move on with my questions. Someone asks, can you be eligible for grants if you're a Canadian citizen but live in the States?
I don't know if you would be ineligible, but it's a good question. There may be some stipulations. I know at the end of the day, though, like you would have to be doing your project in Canada. So like, even if, like, I know a lot of people have move to Atlanta, move to Miami, and move to LA and New York and all that stuff. That's totally cool. But at the end of the day, remember, the grant is being given to you to spend in Canada or spent in the province or the city that it's coming from. So just keep that in mind. You probably could apply. You know what I mean? Actually, it's important to mention here, actually, most of the music that you create has to be CanCon when it comes to these grants as well, right? Canadian content. I'm not too sure how familiar everybody is with that, but there's four criteria. Ironically, it's the maple criteria. That's how Canadian we are. The M is music is produced in Canada, I believe. The A is the artist is Canadian. The P is it's produced in Canada, meaning it was like recorded in Canada. And then the L is the lyrics is written by a Canadian. So in order for something to be considered CanCon, it has to be two of those four things. So as an example, the artist could be Canadian, right? And they wrote their own lyrics, which is Canadian, you know what I mean? But then they've recorded it in America with an American producer. It's 50% CanCon because it was written and performed by a Canadian. The second though, you get a collaborator to perform with you. And now the lyrics is like 50% Canadian, 50% American and stuff like that. That's where things start to fall apart. So you want to make sure that it's fully, you know, two of those four criteria, but ideally all four, because really they want to fund Canadian artists, right? They're doing this on purpose to help Canada be put on the map and just make people recognize what we're doing. And Americans, they don't have opportunities like this. A lot of countries don't. So we're very fortunate that, you know, these bodies, they're willing to do that stuff.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Americans really don't have access to grants and things like that.
Nothing like it.
But they do have the market, though. They don't have the grants, but they have the music market.
It's a numbers thing, right? They have what? It was like 300 million people in the States. We have like a little bit more than 33, I think. So just California state is the size of Canada, like population wise, right?
Wow.
New York, same thing. So I get it, but that's also probably why they're not giving it out. And that's also a thing. Maybe this won't last forever. You know what I mean? Like as Canada grows, we get a bigger population, it's going to be more and more competitive and difficult to get this kind of funding, right?
You're right about that. And also, so what can music grant be spent on? Can like somebody apply for a grant and use some of the grant to pay a stylist to buy some clothes for their video? You know what I mean?
As long as it's Canadian.
Since weed is legal now, are they able to buy weed for with the money?
I mean, I don't know about that.
I caught you off guard with that one.
No, actually, legal full now. Disclosure: right? I'm an investor. Trust me, I'm an investor in cannabis. So believe me, I would actually love for that to be the case. But you can't really spend money on any kind of capital expenditures. Okay, so that means like you can't get a grant, and then you can't buy you can't buy a keyboard. I can't buy a studio. You have to pay people. You have to pay for. So a stylist, totally cool, right? But you can't pay for something that you're going to own. Maybe like some small, really, really small stuff. Some grants allow like small expenses, like, you know, buying a hard drive for archiving purposes so you could save all your sessions and stuff like that. But yeah, at the end of the day, like most of this money should be spent on service providers and paying yourself. And then you could buy your weed if you want to do that. Right?
All right. Great answer. So we've been talking about artists and stuff like that. So what I wanted to ask you, are producers allowed to apply for grants as well? And also, are record labels allowed to apply for grants too?
For sure. So producers, really anybody can apply to a grant. What you have to be doing is you have to just fit certain criteria. Okay. So for producers, let me explain. I'm a producer. Okay. That's how I got into this. And my first grant was actually to pay. Well, it was for me to put together my own project as a producer. However, the thing is, the condition is you have to be releasing this music usually, at least for the recording grants. The creation grants are probably a little bit different. But for the recording grants, you have to be releasing this music yourself. So what I did, for example, as a producer was, I said, I want this funding for me to produce this music. I'm going to get my friends who are vocalists, like, you know, my Everything O'Shawn, who's one of my homies and all kinds of people like that. I want to get him to spit a 16 on this track. And I'm going to release it, though, as 5-piece featuring Everything O'Shawn, almost like, you know, if Timbaland wasn't performing, DJ Khaled, exactly, right? Static Selecta, these kinds of producers. If you're doing that and building your own brand and releasing music under your own name, you can absolutely get a grant for it. you know?
Oh, wow.
But if you're trying to get a grant, then you're going to give that music to somebody else. It may not fully add up. Like, it has to make sense that they're investing into a project that's going to benefit you and your brand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. You've been talking about criteria. There's different criteria to apply for. So can you elaborate on that? What kind of criteria are available out there?
For sure. And then after that, remind me, because I'll tell you the label grants as well. But I think this will be more helpful first. So the typical criteria to apply to a grant is you can't be in school full time. So you can't be a student full time. All right. Sorry to anybody who's in school, stay in school, get your education. But, you know, I think because I could be wrong, but I suspect that because the government subsidizes our education here, they're not going to give you more subsidies, even though maybe we should have that, you know, so you can't be in school. You have to be a Canadian citizen or a permanent resident. So you can not necessarily be a citizen, but you have to be a permanent resident, at least usually. And then you have to be in a specific location, right? Depending on what grant you're applying to. So I kind of mentioned it, but just to, you know, summarize, because maybe some people came and went, whatever. Factor, Canada Council, anywhere in Canada, you're good. But the provincial organizations, you know, the Ontario Arts Council, for example, you have to be in Ontario. You can't be in BC. You can't be in Quebec. Those places have their own organizations. You have to be in Ontario. And if you're not in Ontario, just find out what provincial organization you have access to, right? You're in Nova Scotia, you go to Arts Nova Scotia. If you're in Quebec, you go to, I think it's called CALQ, C-A-L-Q. You know what I mean? You kind of get the drift. Now, the city grants, once again, you got to be in Toronto if you're going to Toronto Arts Council, et cetera, et cetera. I'm pretty sure everybody probably gets that by now. So those are the main criteria. Not a student, Canadian citizen or permanent resident, and then where you live. The only exception is Canada Council for the Arts. They're a bit more strict. They want to fund what they deem as professional artists. It's kind of like a loose term. You have to just sort of justify why you're professional. And they have like a whole criteria on that. Usually it's like, if you have some sort of education, even if it's private music lessons, you know, you could qualify. As long as you've performed a few shows, you can qualify. You've released music, you can qualify. So that program, probably not good for somebody who's 100% brand new. But if you've been releasing music for a while, you definitely want to be looking into that Canada Council for the Arts grant organization.
Hey, great. And before I forget, what about the label, record labels? How can record labels apply for grants as well?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different, so some of the organizations I mentioned do have grants for record labels, like Factor. They do have several programs specifically for labels, publishers, distributors, all that stuff. They have a whole bunch of criteria for that, which I can't really recall off the top of my head, but it's usually like a certain amount of income or revenue that you've made as a business. You have to be incorporated for 2 years, stuff like that. So Factor is definitely one. Another one for the people in Ontario is Ontario Creates. I think it used to go by the Ontario Media Development Fund, OMDC. That's another big one. Same sort of principles apply. They want you to have, you know, 2 years of incorporated business. So not sole proprietorship, not partnership, has to be incorporated for 2 years, have to be making at least 30 grand in revenue per year, which is pretty simple, you should think, right? And there might be a few other things. And then the last one that I should mention is the Radio Star Maker Fund. This is a specific grant. It's usually intended for people who have already passed a certain sales threshold. I can't remember exactly how many units it is or how many streams it is. But if you're a label with an artist that's past that threshold, you can apply to that. And independent artists can also apply to that. The goal of that fund is obviously to get more marketing dollars behind a record that already has traction. That's why there's the sales threshold, and obviously push it onto radio because the funds come from the radio. And believe it or not, Factor, a lot of their money also comes from radio broadcasters. So knowing where the funding comes from for the organization is also important because you kind of understand their own reasons why they want to fund somebody. So if you're making music that can't really be played on radio, I'm not saying every organization's like that, but like some of these grants like Factor, they may not necessarily fund you. You know what I mean? Because they're sort of looking at it with that lens, if that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. I remember when you used to tell me back in the day when they used to have much music back in the day, there used to be a grant called Much Fact or something like that.
Much Fact, yeah. For the videos.
record labels used to apply for them all the time and take all the money and things like that. Are you aware of anything like that?
Yeah, of course. Much Fact is now done. It doesn't exist anymore. But a lot of big videos were funded by that grant. Actually, one of my favorite videos from Magic Jordan, they got funding for that grant as well. So as you can tell, like, grants is not something for just for small, or upcoming artists. It's for the big ones too. It's for the ones who do have the money and they want to use that money to subsidize expenses that they're paying for already. You know, it definitely creates some controversy. There's been a few artists that have sort of stirred the pot because they got a grant and meanwhile they're worth like $2 million or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So some people think it's bullshit, and it probably, it kind of is, to be honest with you, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Just understanding, what you can have access to and what you're able to apply to, regardless of your circumstances, is important. And actually, I want to mention something because I know I'm going to forget if I don't. There are certain grants. Ontario Arts Council is one that comes to mind that has specific funding priority groups. Okay. I'm sure everybody knows what's going on in the world. Everyone's living. We're living in crazy times, obviously, but a lot of stuff has come to the forefront. You know what I mean? And obviously everything that happened with Black Lives Matter and the protests last year, this is a really important time in our history, right? And grants, organizations, this is not new. They always did this, but now it's really becoming a thing where they really want to fund, for example, persons of color. That's, their language for how they would define it. So whether you're, Black or Latino or just anything non-white, to be honest, like me, yeah. I'm Italian, I'm European. I don't get any special treatment by any means, rightfully so. But now these organizations, they have funding groups that will specifically prioritize funding marginalized communities or people that are disadvantaged. And it's not just persons of color. That's one of several. So as an example, I said the persons of color, there's the new generation, which is people aged 18 to 30. There's Francophones, so people who are French language first or making French language music. Indigenous persons, of course, that's a huge one. And then like any sort of disability related thing. So, maybe deaf, mute, maybe physically handicapped, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So if you fit any of these, marginalized communities, it's important to talk about that in your application and identify so that they can sort of see. And what will happen is, if I apply to a grant and then a person that fit any of those criteria apply to a grant, if both of our grants are exactly the same in terms of quality, but the person who fits the priority group, if that other person fits the priority group, they'll probably get the money over me because of my own circumstance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for people to just be aware of that. Not every organization has these priority groups, but the ones that do, utilize it, because I know for a fact that it's helped some of the artists I've worked with win grants because of their circumstances that they were literally born into. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be weird or manipulative about it.
No, that's a great information.
It's just real,
Now that's the world we live in. It's a real world. So that's great that you're sharing that information out there, because I'm sure there's probably a few Black people in here as well. It is good for them to know, So just moving on to my other questions that I have for you as well, right? Like, when should somebody apply for a grant? Like, is there like a deadline? Like, is there like a time period? Do they have, okay, great, we're going to apply in January. That's it. Like, when is the right time to apply for a grant?
Yeah. So what you want to do is, take the course I mentioned before, Music Grants 101 at findingfunding.ca. And it'll walk you through some of these organizations I'm talking about. And what you want to do is just go onto the websites for each of those organizations, look at the programs that I mentioned, and look at the deadline for that that application, okay? So the way the timelines work, first of all, the deadline date is not the date that you should start applying, okay? Do not make that mistake. A lot of people make the mistake of waiting till the absolute last second to just throw in a Hail Mary through a grant application. And I'm telling you, it almost never works. Some people need that pressure to perform and finish something. I'm not like that. For me, I figure out when the deadline is, and then I try to spend 6, 8, or ideally 12 weeks in advance writing that grant application. That doesn't mean that every day I'm there for 8 hours typing and looking like a loser. You know what I mean? But what it does mean is I have a lot of time to really like marinate and figure out what I'm trying to communicate, because that's the whole thing. The application is you communicating your idea, your vision, what you're going to do with the money. It's all of that. You know what I mean? And the more time you have to be calculated and intentional and edit and refine, that's really, really important for writing grants, or at least writing grants that win. Okay. Mm-hmm. So back to the deadlines though. So most deadlines, there's usually, I would say about like two or three sort of timelines throughout the year where there's a few deadlines. April and May is sort of the first batch. Okay. So Factor and OAC, Ontario Arts Council, a lot of their deadlines are in April and May for different programs, and actually Canada Council as well. Those three grants, those are sort of the time periods between April and May. And then they have another deadline for those same sort of programs. And there's a whole bunch, like I said, that will happen again, I think sometime in October or November, right? Now, the thing is, the deadline date is the date that they stop receiving applications and they start reviewing them. What does that mean? You apply to a grant, even if you send it 2 months before the deadline, your grant is just sitting there. It's not getting reviewed right away. What happens is once the deadline happens, they go, okay, cool. We're going to shut this down. We're going to give this grant, all these grants, these hundreds of thousands of grants, let's say, or 10,000 grants, whatever. Let's divvy these up to a group of people called jurors. Usually is how they do this. Each of these jurors is going to review these grants, and a few of them will review the same one. You'll have like 10 people reviewing each application, right? And what they'll do is they'll grade it like a homework assignment. So like they'll look and they'll be like, you know, his artistic merit, it was kind of bad. So we'll give him a 5 out of 10 or a 3 out of 5, whatever. His viability. Yeah, he's a pretty popping artist. Let's give him a 5 out of 5. And, you know, his impact, you know, it's not looking too great. Let's give him a 1 out of 5. You know what I mean? It's just him working on this project alone. You know what I mean? And then they'll average that score, and they'll average it for every single person, because I might read it, not necessarily feel what you're saying. And then the next person might see it and be like, yeah, this is great. 5, 5, 5. And they'll average the score. And then what they'll do is they'll grade, after they've done it for every application, every single one, they'll say, okay, cool. We have enough money to fund the top 10% or the top 20% of applicants. And it's going to change every year, but you know, you might have to have scored 85% on your application to receive funding. You know what I mean? So then, and then what happens from there is that whole process, it takes about 12 to 16 weeks. So if the deadline is in April, you're not getting your money until May, June, July, probably August. You know what I mean? So when you're applying to grants, you have to be a psychic. You have to be able to see into the future and predict what's happening and time things out properly. You're not going to be applying for a grant for a single that you want to release next month. It's probably not going to work out for you. You have to, like right now what I'm applying for is literally Q4 2021. So that's how far in the future I'm living. You know what I mean? When I'm applying grants for all these people.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. A lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. But what's the percentage of somebody getting qualified for a grant? Like, you know what I mean? Is there like,
Like, what's the percentage of somebody winning, you're saying?
Somebody winning.
So I have a few videos. When you check my YouTube, you guys can go in depth. I'll give you some highlights now, but youtube.com/5piece. I have a few videos that's like, you know, how likely am I to win a grant from this organization? I have a couple like that. So Factor, for example, you can look at the numbers. Every year they release an annual report and it says, you know, what's the highest, or here's all the genres that we support, you know, which one's getting the most money out of how many applicants is getting funded. And it gives you all the breakdown. And I did my own sort of calculating on the back end and figured out that they fund about 10% of people, right? So you have a 1 in 10 chance of winning. Now, personally speaking, my win ratio is way better than that. My win ratio is not 100%. I don't know anyone that does have 100%. I feel like those people are lying because it's competitive and every year is different. Every deadline is different. You might apply at a deadline where there's not a lot of competition. But for me, I'm winning about 1 in 3 applications on average. You know what I mean? So even with me, when I sit down with a client, I usually try to say, let's figure out 2 or 3 applications that we can apply to so that we can hedge our bets. Now, keep in mind, Factor is 1 in 10, okay? Canada Council for the Arts, I ran the numbers on that. It's more like a 1 in 3, 1 in 4. You know what I mean? So certain grant programs and certain grant organizations are far less competitive than others, or they just have significantly more money. To exemplify that further, Ontario Arts Council, Toronto Arts Council, I've looked at their reports as well. It says how much money they've been requested and how much money they actually are able to fund. Most of the time it says they've been requested for $3 to $4 million per deadline, and they only have $300,000 to $400,000 to give away. So they're only able to fund 10% of the request. That doesn't mean that they're funding 10%, because I might ask for $5,000, you might ask for 10, this person might ask for $6,000. The number's all over the place, but you sort of see that they obviously cannot fund every single person that applies. And that's why I kind of mentioned the stuff before, like the priority group stuff, because, you know, this is a, it's a good sort of lever to pull in a way to give yourself a little bit more of an advantage over some of the competition that you're literally going to be up against no matter what, you know what I mean?
You're definitely right about that. And also, are there certain grants for women as well? I'm sure there's a couple of women in this chat as well.
Well, all these grants are, I know I keep saying like he pronouns and stuff like that. That's just me having horrible habits, so I apologize. These grants are available to every person, regardless of how you identify, anything like that.
I know,
that,
but there's,
you
know, no specific, I mean, ones for women only?
I'm sure there are, but like in terms of music, I haven't necessarily crossed some. I do see Factor doing more like women's and indigenous based sort of like webinars, kind of like this, where they're trying to educate more of these communities. And I do have, you know, I do have some connections at these organizations, and they've told me that they're trying to prioritize these groups as well. So, okay, you know, I definitely, at the very least, recommend, once again, playing those details up into in your applications, right? Because if you know that they want to fund women more so than men, and it's a male-dominated deadline where it's like 80% men, there is a good chance. Because I do feel like I have won a few grants at times for some of my female collaborators. And I felt like, not that being female was the only reason why, but I feel like that was sort of like the thing that sort of drove it home. You know what I mean?
Okay, definitely. Yo, I appreciate you being on here, man. You being honest and really open and answering all these questions as honest as you can. I'm not going to hold you for too long. I got one more question. I got a couple questions left for you. There's a question here that said, as a grant writer, how do you figure out what to charge your clients?
So that's a good question. Every grant writer is different, right? You know, I can't really speak on other grant writers. I could just speak on myself. And, you know, some grant writers want everything up front. Some want everything on the back. To be honest, the second group is way more rare. Like, you have to have a lot going on for you in order for somebody to work completely on commission. So I just, not to pop somebody's dream balloon, but I'd be very cautious, unless it's somebody who's like coming up and they have no experience and they just want to win grants and all that stuff, then you may be able to get something on the back end only. For me, I have a hybrid model where I charge a fee up front and then I do charge something on the back end. But the important thing to remember is most grant writers, they only help you on the upfront part. They only help you apply for the grant. Getting a grant is two things. It's getting a grant and it's keeping a grant. What I do is, and when I get the back end payment, that back end payment is for me to work with you and continue to work with you throughout the entire duration of your project, so that I can actually complete the grant for you. So I'll handle the reporting. If you have any questions, you need consulting, if you need any help with anything, I'm there, I got you. You don't have to like feel like you're lost, like my friend who had to pay back Factor $25,000 because the grant writer helped him win it, but didn't help him with anything else. And that was never a part of the arrangement anyways, I guess, right? So for me, when I win a grant, I want people to win it, keep it, succeed, and guess what? Let's do it all over again.
Over
you know
again.
What I mean?
Well, yeah.
So sure, I do charge up front. Sure, I do take a piece on the back end, but you get what you pay for. You can thank me later, or you cannot, and then you can call me later and be like, dude, I messed up. I should have called you. Because I tell you, I get those calls all the damn time.
Oh, man, I can only imagine. Trust One more me. Question in the chat right now before I ask you my last questions. Somebody said, with factoring in the delay in approval of grants, if we were to apply and end up receiving multiple acceptance, what would be the appropriate method to handle this?
Yeah, so there's a few ways, right? So first things first, you usually want to, first of all, you're not going to apply and say like, I need 10 grand only, and I'm only going to get it from Factor. You usually want to have like a big plan, like $30,000, $40,000, or like more than what you're asking for. It's actually important to say this. The grants do not want to give you 100% of your project's budget. So if it's going to cost you 10 grand to produce an album, you're not going to ask for 10 grand. You're going to ask for maybe 7,500 and you're going to contribute the remaining 25%. They need to see that you have some skin in the game, right? If you have no skin in the game, I'm just going to give you this money. That's a gift. How do I know I could trust you? You know what I mean? So that's the first thing I just want to mention, just making sure that you have some skin in the game, that you're not asking the grant to pay for 100% of anything anyways, right? The second part of that is if you do apply to multiple grants and you win them all, that's amazing. That doesn't happen all the time. But when it does happen, that's a good time to pop some champagne because you're doing something right. Now, what you need to do is you need to make sure that, you know, that money is going to cover, or that money can be spent, right? So like you have enough expenses that'll justify it. And if you don't, what you can easily do is just contact the organization. And this is going to suck for a lot of people, but just contact them and say, hey, I want a grant from Factor. You know what? I would love to keep this money, but unfortunately I don't have any use for it at this time. Wow. And guess what? You just don't accept it. Or if you accepted it already, you give it back. And guess what that does? It builds more trust with you, because now the organization is going to be like, you know what? We could have gave this guy money. He could have skirted off in the bends and screwed us over and bought his government weed. But instead, he did the honorable thing, the honest thing. And we're going to make a note of that so that next time he applies, we can give him even more. Or I would obviously try not to do that second part. I would try to like make sure that there's enough expenses to justify, you know, spending all the money. And even to be honest, the first thing I would personally do as a grant writer is I would be getting on the phone or trying to get in touch with the organization and making a bit of a plan beforehand, maybe, and seeing like, okay, well, we said we're going to spend it on XYZ. Let's see if we can make a few changes now that we have the second grant also here and maybe ramp up what we're trying to do. Maybe I said we're going to do 3 videos. Let's do 5. Maybe we said we're going to spend 10 grand on marketing. Let's spend 20. Whatever it takes, you know what I mean? But worst case, you can always give it back.
All right, dope. I got 2 more questions here before I let you go. We're not taking any more questions because I've been asking you guys for your questions. You guys are sending your questions so late. So if you guys want any consultation with 5 Piece, you guys could definitely follow him on Instagram. So you can follow him, check out his YouTube channel, DM him, email him, and he'd definitely be able to answer all your questions and assist you guys to apply for more grants. So there's a question I have right now. It said, is COVID affecting the amounts of grants available and how much the grants are?
No, not necessarily. It is affecting live performance and like anything related to live stuff, because, you know, it's very difficult to travel now and safety and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So anything touring related, very difficult. You could still get a grant for like live streaming and stuff. I'm sure that's possible. But yeah, like live has been affected for sure. A couple of grants and their organizations, the deadlines have been changing around. They're pushing deadlines back. So like Ontario Arts Council used to be often in like April, the first deadline of the year. Now a lot of them are in May, you know what I mean? Which is, it's small, but other than that, like these organizations, they're still getting money and they still have to give that money out. They're obligated to give the money out. They're not-for-profit companies. They're not allowed to just keep it. They have to give it away. And if they don't give it away, guess what happens next year? They get less. You know what I mean? So they're trying more than ever to give money away. And usually it's increasing. Some organizations, they do get their stuff cut. I think Ontario Arts Council was one. I can't remember if it was Doug Ford or somebody, one of the conservative. It might have been Doug, to be honest. I don't want to throw Doug under the bus just yet. Mm-hmm. He's done a good job of that on his own sometimes. But you know, they've cut some arts funding for that organization at times. But again, you don't have just one. You have access to a whole buffet of grant organizations that you can apply to get money. So whether they get less and they have more, doesn't matter, as long as you're applying.
Okay, great. So one last question before I let you go, because I don't want to hold you for too long. last question from Daniela said, many artists at first don't realize how much of their time and effort is required to work on the grant. Example, provide input and communicate their vision to you so that you can make the grant impactful. How do you deal with this situation?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And it's something that like I think is just a part it's sort of the politics of being a grant writer is you are going to deal with problematic people that just don't necessarily give you what you need. And I've definitely had those. What I try to do is I try to be very thorough with my communication at all times. I explain things. I explain why I need something, and I give timelines. So like, as an example, somebody just, you know, hired me today to do a grant for them. And, you know, they pay the retainer and they're asking me like, okay, what's the timeline? I'm like, okay, February 18th. The deadline is in April, by the way, but I'm like, February 18th, I need all the demos. By next week, I need all the photos from you, because I'm going to make a little press kit, kind of like a bio, artist bio for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I need that, and I need a bunch of information. And I basically lay out the full timeline for the whole, journey that we're going to have together. And I try to be as thorough as possible, but the key is really just making sure I have systems in place up front. I have lots of templates, you know, so I have successful grant applications that I've written so that I'm able to sort of plug different information in there. It's impossible to just copy and paste. Like, you do have to customize no matter what, but like, that's something, you know, I know how I have to have a conversation with people. So for me, when I write a grant, it's like this: we onboard you, right? We get you onto the grant portal. Once you're on, we schedule a call. It's going to be a long 1 to 2 hour phone call. I'm going to ask you a bajillion and one questions. I'm going to drill down into it and really understand. Like, I have to understand, like, I'm you, right? I have to understand the project, what you're doing, why you're doing it, every single thing. I'm looking at the application as we do it, so I'm getting the answers for that. And then after that 2 hour phone call, the artist is sort of hands off. I'm doing my thing. The next time they hear from me, it's going to be a couple of clarifying questions or things that I've sort of gathered after doing my first draft, tighten it up, send it to them and get approval to make sure we're blessed to send it in. Once we're blessed, it's gone. You know what I mean? But to be honest, doing this for so long has allowed me to figure out the systems that make it more efficient. And if I was doing it the same way I did at the beginning, it wouldn't be so smooth. So just figuring out what you need to do repeatedly, not just with this one person, but every single time you have to do a grant, is important. You always have to onboard, you know, get the person out of the portals to apply. Mm-hmm. You always have to, you know, create your support materials, right? So your bios, having your music, your photos, all that. You always have to write your application and send it in. Those are the three big steps. And then obviously to do that third step, you have to have some sort of communication with that client to make sure that you get the info you need. And it is important to say that for me, when I work with a client, we have a contract, and in that contract it says, you know, this, in order for me to do my job, it necessitates proper communication and timely communication between both parties. Failure to communicate anything to me, you know, may result in delay or failure to even submit your grant. And that's on you. Cause I've had people where I literally ask for something and I've literally had to be that annoying dude that's like texting and emailing and calling for fucking 2 weeks. And then day before the deadline, they send me everything and they mess up my life because they expect me to do it. And I'm not trying to be like bitter and all that, but it's very, very frustrating because it actually makes it worse for them. They're less likely to succeed when they do that because they're putting me in a bind where I don't have the time. You know what I mean? To make sure that what I'm saying is accurate or correct or whatever. You know what I mean? So time, once again, 8 or 12 weeks before a deadline is going to be the most key thing to prevent any sort of issues that will happen when you're dealing with clients. It's just the reality of it.
Definitely. That was definitely a great answer. I hope that I answer your question here. One more question that I have for you before I forget, right? I work with a lot of artists. And for some reason, they have criminal records. They're unable to do a lot of things. All artists with criminal records are able to apply to grants.
That's a good question. You know, I'm laughing because I've actually never encountered that. I've never seen any language that prevents that from happening. Like, I've never seen, like, if you, I don't know how they would word it, but like, if you were incarcerated within 12 months, you can't apply. I've never seen that, but this actually brings up a good point. Okay. Now I know that everybody who is incarcerated does not have the same thing going on. Everybody has their own circumstance, and I respect it. I have friends who have, you know, done their time, and they've done that, and they're done, and that's it, right? But what I want to mention here is, and this applies to every single artist, do not include extremely derogatory stuff in your music. Okay, now let me explain this for a moment. When you look at grants, you want to look at their evaluation criteria and you want to see what it says there. It says like what you should and shouldn't be doing or how they're going to evaluate what you're turning in. Okay, now if you're a trap rapper and you're talking about selling Molly and, you know, slapping a hoe, I don't know. I know I'm saying whack shit, but like, you know what I mean? Like if you're saying stuff that's like basically negative, and it doesn't mean you can't swear. You could swear, you could say fuck and shit. You could swear the entire song if you want. That's fine. You know what I mean? But if you're doing things that encourage anything negative, violence, domestic abuse, drug trafficking, sexual trafficking, anything that's basically illegal, you know what I mean? You're not gonna get funded. Okay. Think about it like this. The government is giving you money, basically, right? One way or another, that money is somehow coming from the government. Do you think that the government wants to subsidize those things? And don't get it twisted. I love that music. Like, I'm a huge fan of Atlanta hip hop. That's my favorite shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of Atlanta music probably wouldn't get a grant if they had the option to. You know what I mean? Just because of the themes and what they're talking about, you know?
That's a great answer.
So if you can, as an artist, that doesn't mean you can't get grants, okay? Because there are people who get grants. But if you can, try to sort of like send in the right material, send in the appropriate thing or tailor stuff for it, but don't force it. Okay. I don't like it. I tell my clients too. I'm like, yo, we got to kind of turn in something like this, but don't like go out of your way. Like just make music, send me a lot of the music that you're working on. Let me hear it. And I'm going to pick out the one that I think is going to work best for this grant. Cause you always have to turn in one or two song demos, right? That communicate what you're trying to do with the project. So instead of sending, you know, the Trap Star Anthem, you know what I mean, about violence and all these other things, which again I enjoy, you know what I mean? Send in the love song, send in the song about unity, or maybe you send in a sad breakup song. That's fine, as long as you're not talking about, you know, pistol whipping somebody and then selling a brick. You know what I mean? Like you have to just play within the rules of. It's a game. You got to play within the rules. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Great answer. I just wanted to make sure I didn't forget that question because a lot of people might want to know themselves, right?
I'm gonna look into that further, by the way. Yeah. I'm going to look into that further because I'm actually curious. I'm gonna hit up a couple of friends of mine at these organizations and see.
Sounds good, man. I really appreciate you coming in and spending your time. You could have been doing something better than this, making some money somewhere.
Nah, so this
really
is fun, man. This is fun.
I appreciate this, you know, because a lot of people don't like doing these things, you know? So I'm glad everyone that tuned in as well. Before I let you go, right, what I wanted to ask you, where can they find you and how can they contact you and like where YouTube, your Instagram and all that stuff? Do you have any courses or books that you're selling? And things like that as well.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody loves free stuff. So let me plug the free stuff first. I got two free resources. One is my YouTube. I drop a video every single week. Some of it's grant related, sure, but I also am a producer and engineer. So I talk a lot about recording and mixing and mastering. And it's really important actually now because a lot of us are at home. We're not working with people as much. We're learning how to be self-sufficient. If you need help with recording, mixing, mastering, and learning that, check that out and you'll benefit from the grant videos. Of course, I talk about a lot of things on here. Grant programs that pay you to make music is one video that everybody should definitely check out. And there's another video I have called Best Grants for First-Time Applicants. You know, those are two videos that everybody will find value out of. If you want my YouTube, it's youtube.com/5piece, 5piece, like half a dime for all the Canadians in the building because the Americans don't know what a 5-piece is. They think I'm a chicken nugget combo. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is go to findingfunding.ca. This is my actual grant writing platform. I have the Music Grants 101 free course. Sign up for it. You put your email in, you'll get an email, you know, just making sure that you want to be a part of it, and then you'll get access to the course. It's going to walk you through everything you need to know to get started, who gives away funding, how to find grants, what you should be communicating in your application. It's going to help you get your ideas organized and together. And if you like those two things and you want to take it up another notch, I do have a premium course. It's called How to Apply to Canadian Music Grants. It sort of picks up where the free course left off. And it actually shows you step by step how to apply to a grant, what you need to do, what you need to consider. And I show a lot of examples from my winning applications. You could technically copy those applications, give or take a few details, and potentially put yourself into a great situation. But that course is the only course I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody have a course like that, that walks you from A to Z in terms of, you know, applying to grants, winning grants, and every step in between. So you want to check that out. That's also on findingfunding.ca. You want to connect with me? I'm on Instagram a lot, at 5piece. That's the number 5, P-I-E-C-E. I'm sure if you check up next posts, you'll see my face on some of those if he doesn't take them down right away. And, you know, just feel free to follow. If you have a question, DM me. I love getting ideas for videos. So if you have a video idea that you want me to shoot for my YouTube, let me know. Love to help you out. And yeah, those are the big things. I think I covered it all there, man.
Yeah, you definitely covered it all. I'm definitely going to send you everybody's email that registered for this. A couple of them, they attend the Zoom webinar. So I'm going to send you all the emails, the phone numbers, so you'll be able to contact them and send your freebies, and then you'll be able to follow up and build your own relationship with them, all right?
Sounds good to me, man. I appreciate that.
I really appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for coming on the In and Off of the Streets podcast. I really appreciate you. Keep doing what you do. I'm going to keep checking your YouTube channel, and have a nice day, man. Have a good night.
You too, man. Appreciate you, brother. See you guys.
Later. Bye.
Easy.